2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 to 19, and I'll mention verse 21, but verses 18 and 19. I remind you that these are just thoughts on 2 Corinthians. There's some detailed exegesis here that's required, but I will make some remarks upon that exegesis, but I want just to give the overall impression of this passage in these short discourses. Let me read the words. God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. I could have used that as a title, but I've gone on with the new covenant ministry, the next in that series, because that is what it is. The whole context here, chapter after chapter now, we've been reading the new covenant ministry, the glorious new covenant ministry. And Paul is stressing this, of course, in the face of the Judaizers at Corinth, who were seeking to bring these Gentile believers, mostly Gentile, under the law. But believers, Gentile or Jew, are not under the law. The law has been fulfilled by Christ and rendered obsolete, and we're under the ministry of the new covenant, the ministry of the Spirit, of liberty, of life, not letter and stone, death and condemnation. And this is a context of this here. This is the glorious new covenant ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. God is justly angry with sinners. We're sinners in Adam, and we sin in our own responsibility, in our own ways and experience. And God could damn us all to hell, and he would be absolutely just in it. But he is willing, and more than willing, he has taken steps to be reconciled to sinners. His enmity to be satisfied, his wrath to be appeased, it to be meted out upon his Son upon the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that act of suffering and shedding his blood and being separated from his Father, Christ was accomplishing the great business of reconciliation. And in conversion, of course, sinners have their enmity removed by the Holy Spirit working within them, bringing them to submit to the Lord Christ and repent and believe and trust him. This is the ministry of reconciliation. God's great accomplishment of it, the preaching of it, and the bringing of sinners to feel the benefit of it and to themselves come into the reconciliation and have peace with God. What points can I make here? The Spirit is not mentioned here, but he is the one who is accomplishing all this in the lives of sinners and through the preaching of the gospel. I'm not surprised he's not mentioned. Christ said that he will not speak of himself. But it is a Trinitarian work. But the initiative is with God. There is no doubt about it. The sovereignty in this act is God. Let me read the verses again. God reconciled us. God was reconciling the world. God has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. God, God, God. William Gadsby's hymn, "Salvation, O my soul, rejoice." Salvation is of God. Now, believer, I hope we're of this mind, that we sing and speak and think and talk and preach the sovereignty of God in this act, the initiative of God. There's a lot of writing and talking about the so-called vaunted power and free will and sovereignty of man. Rubbish. The act of reconciliation, the work of reconciliation, the whole business of the new covenant is first to last a work of God. God planned it, God purposed it, God decreed it, God accomplished it, God applies it, God works it all out. When I say just now the Spirit accomplishes it, I mean an actual application. Christ actually accomplished the work on the cross. Verse 21, God made him, Christ, who had no sin, to be sin or to be a sin offering for us so that we might, in him, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, the glorious change, exchange there. My sins, my separation, my deserving of wrath laid upon the Lord Jesus, and his precious righteousness, his accomplishments, all laid to my account. And this is sovereignly the work of God. And it's in Christ. In Christ comes here repeatedly. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, and so on. And it's God made Christ, who had no sin, to be made a sin offering, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is justification. This is reconciliation. This is redemption. This is salvation. This is what the new covenant is about. And it's all in Christ, by the sovereign act and work and power of God. God decreeing it. God the Son. God the Father decreeing it. God the Son accomplishing it. And God the Spirit applying it in time through the preaching of the ministry. And God has committed to us this ministry. Now, who are the us? The apostles? Yes. He's made us. Verse 20. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. Yes. So, you could say, well, that's apostolic. And it's true, it is apostolic. You could say it's ministerial. In the sense that it applies to stated ministers. And that would be right too, although I'm not very happy with the overemphasis upon the ministerial status. But if you'll come into the new covenant properly, you'll realize that every believer is a minister of the gospel. Every believer is a priest, a king of the Lord Jesus Christ's covenant. Therefore, we're all ministers of the gospel. And God has committed to us, brother and sister, the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I said I was preaching from verse 18 and 19. I think I'm really speaking on 18, 19, and 20, aren't I? We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, and so on. I'll take up that in the next discourse. But if believers are God's ambassadors. Stated ministers are, yes. And the apostles, of course, yes. But all of us as believers. And this is the ministry we've been given, the glorious new covenant ministry, the ministry of reconciliation for sinners. Sinners be reconciled to God. God has accomplished a great salvation. Receive it in Christ by faith now. Come to him and you will be everlastingly at peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5. You see here, of course, that it says God was reconciling the world to himself. But you have to link that, of course, in verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The we and the world. Now, what does this mean? Well, this is where the detail, the exegesis, comes in. One possibility is he could be speaking of Gentiles and not just limited to Jews. That would fit the context. The ministry of reconciliation, the glorious new covenant ministry. Yes, Gentiles included, as well as the Jews. These Jewish law teachers were demanding Gentiles to come under the Mosaic law. So you can see the emphasis here, and Paul is saying, no, Gentiles are included in this ministry of reconciliation. They have been reconciled to God. And so that could be the meaning of it. That may not satisfy some. Some have gone down the route that, say, Amaro has gone. You may not have heard of Amaro, but that's the teaching which says, all Paul is saying is that God has made it possible for the world to be reconciled. That is a very unworthy interpretation in my view. There's no sense here of possibility. Verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin offering for us, so that in him we might become. And the might there doesn't mean, oh, it's possible. It's a definite act. And I've used words like application and accomplishment throughout this discourse. And that's what God is doing here. There's no providing ifs and buts and maybes. God in Christ reconciled the world. And if the world means every last man, woman and child in the world, then every last man, woman and child in the world would be everlastingly reconciled to God. And that cannot be. So I cannot go down the route of the provisional, nor can I go down the route that it's the Arminian route, that it's there and it is for all men effectively, but, you know, it could be thwarted, I suppose. That's all nonsense. Of course, there's another meaning. World could be cosmos, and there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Myself, I'm more inclined to the Gentile question, interpretation. It fits in with the passage here. There is, of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But the whole context of that passage is not that every man will be saved. It's not that it's provisional for every man to be saved. I don't see that at all. I just think it's the love of God for sinners worldwide. All men are encompassed in that general love of God, but the great effectual reconciliation is for those who are in Christ. And, believer, God has committed to us this ministry. Let us preach God first, Christ accomplishing the necessity of the Spirit's ministry within the sinner, calling sinners to repentance. Well, that will go on into the next section of this passage. But this is a glorious new covenant ministry. The texts I've been preaching on then, 18, 19, 20, and possibly 21, I might even call that the text I'm doing, because that's what I'm doing here, but not all the words. I'll come back to it. But I leave it here. We have this glorious ministry of reconciliation, the new covenant ministry. Unbeliever, listening to me, will you not hear this gospel now? Be reconciled to God. Hear the gospel. Come to Christ. Trust him. Cast yourself upon him. He stands ready and willing to save you. His blood can wash you from every sin. His righteousness can make you perfect before God. Cast yourself upon him. Believe upon the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Blessed be God, he gave us this new covenant ministry. I'm not going to go out and preach law. I'm going to preach Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Of course, he's speaking to believers there. That's our lot, believer. Unbeliever, it can be yours. It can be yours by experience if you will come to the Savior and receive him. Come now and receive him and be saved. Be reconciled to God.